to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3. Just 8 verses tonight. And a relatively simple thought tonight. But I think if we can grasp the simple, I think the simple can change our lives. Let's just read these 8 verses and then we'll jump in to the Word of God. Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3 verse 1 says this. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. And verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. I think most of you, before Psalm chapter 3, does it say in your Bible a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son? Do you see that in your Bibles in Psalm chapter 3? Shake your heads. Anyone say, no, I don't see that? Shake your head, no. I think maybe everybody sees that in your Bible. So this psalm, it's fun to know the history of the psalm. So let me just remind you a little bit. Absalom was a son of David. And he was a beloved son of David. And Absalom, if you remember, he was a good-looking guy. I mean, they said, you know, wow, when you'd see Absalom walking down the road, whew. I mean, I guess the ladies, it would catch their attention, right? And so he would catch your attention. They said he cut his hair once a year, and so he apparently had a full head of hair. And the amount of shekels, they would give the weight in shekels in the Bible, and his hair weighed about 3.5 pounds that they cut off annually. And so he had some head of hair, and so he was a beloved son of David. Well, there was an inappropriate relationship between one of David's sisters. It wasn't her fault. She was overcome by a man named Amnon, if you remember that. Amnon and Tamar, a terrible story in the Bible. And the Bible doesn't just give us everything that's beautiful. It tells us the reality of life, and then how will we respond. And so Absalom hated Amnon for his sin and evil and wickedness. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but Absalom said, no, not in this case, it's mine. Well, you know the story. Absalom, he killed Amnon, had him killed, and then he fled from the kingdom of David, and he was gone 3 years. 3 years, that's a very long time not to hear from a beloved son. And so then Joab, captain of the host for David, basically the secretary of defense, he wanted to bring Absalom back into the kingdom with David. And so he devised a plan to get David to agree. So they brought Absalom back to Jerusalem. And so Absalom comes back, but David says, I don't want to see him. Absalom was in Jerusalem 2 more years, and David wouldn't see him. So we're going on 5 years, and you see David had an issue in his heart too. Is, let's say Absalom never repented. What should David do? David should give up all wrath, anger, malice, clamor. Ephesians chapter 4, right? Let it go. But he didn't. So he held this bitterness against Absalom, and it created a great division within Absalom and David. Well, long story short, Absalom then tries to overthrow the kingdom, and he is temporarily successful. And he did that by staying outside the gate of Jerusalem, and as people would come in to have their matters judged, Absalom would judge them, and the people began to have their hearts and affections turned to Absalom. And then what happens is he had spies sent throughout the 12 tribes of Israel, and the people's heart turned to Absalom, and then he overtook the kingdom for a very short time. But David then fled with his wives and his children, and they went out and they were running from Absalom, and they did that for quite some time until finally Absalom was killed, and it was a great sorrow to David because all of this happened after David in that great sin with Bathsheba and then ultimately the murder and death of Uriah the Hittite. And so David, you gotta wonder with David is, it's difficult, is it not? The consequences of David's sin that he had long since repented of. Remember when Nathan came to David, he told David, he said, the sword will never depart from your home. And David lived with that until his death. But I love Psalm chapter 3. It is David. He is running from Absalom. He is in the middle of nowhere. He leaves the palace, the comforts, all that he knew, the safety. And so what we're going to do, tonight's message is simple. It says, I will trust in the Lord. Here's the simple thought tonight. Is that's critical for you and I in order for us to have a successful ministry, to be used of God, is that we trust Him. Some of you could say right now as I say that, you say, is that it? I came to church just to hear that we need to trust in the Lord and yeah, that's it. But what I want to show you tonight is a man that was run away from his kingdom, run away from his comfort. He was run away from all of that by his own family. His own family turned against him. And what's David supposed to do? He's supposed to trust in the Lord. Look at verse 1, if you will. I will trust in the Lord in spite of three things. These three things God could have stopped, but he didn't. It says this, Lord, this is David speaking to the Lord. How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Let me just help you a little bit. This is just a side note. How many of you have ever noticed that I don't say the word Selah when I read the scriptures? Don't be offended by that. That's a musical indication that just means pause. And so, you know, it'd be kind of like if I had a comma and I go, comma, pause. And so rather than give you the musical notation, Selah just means pause. So you remember the Psalms are songs. So rather than me saying pause, you wouldn't have known that because I would be speaking Hebrew when I'd say Selah. And it, you know, I wonder why the group Selah named themselves that, because it just sounds good, but it just means pause. And so now that you know, you'll be disappointed in their group and their name forevermore. But look at this. It says we should trust in the Lord in spite of three things that David says. The first one I want you to see is this, verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? You see, we've got to trust in the Lord in spite of increasing trouble. You see, I know many of you. I love our church. I love our people. And I want us to not get comfortable. I want us to make sure that we take our lives, our energy, and that we are reaching others for Jesus Christ. And I love that. Do you know this? This is an above average attendance for Sunday night. And I think it's two reasons. One is cupcakes, and it's an incredible job that I did selling those. But two, I think it's because you love Lisa, and Rodney's okay too. And you know what? That's very important to me. And I love that, right? And I know this. I know you love the Bible, and I know you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to do what's right. But I do want to tell you this. I'm encouraged. I do trust that you're here especially tonight because you love this couple. And that's exactly what the Lord would have us to do is love. But I know this. There's many of you that you have increasing trouble, you have increasing problems, you have increasing difficulty, and your life is an absolute train wreck, but nobody would know it. Because we know how to put the right clothes on, we know how to shower, we know how to use deodorant, and we know how to look good when we're in front of others. But I want to tell you this. Who else can we trust? What the Bible says is this. David said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? In increasing trouble, in increasing difficulty. And this is when it's hard. You see, it's so elementary to say trust in the Lord, but it's so difficult to trust in the Lord when our lives look to be turned upside down and all that's happening is my trouble increases day by day. And that's exactly what David was going through. Second thing I want you to see, look at this. He says, many are they that rise up against me. We have many enemies. So you say, you know, not only is my trouble increasing, but if it was just trouble, You know, if it was just that my car wouldn't run, if it was just that my heat broke down over the weekend, if it was just that my house is falling apart, if it was just, you know, that my knee's not working right, if it was just my personal health, but it's not just that. I have people that are out to get me. I have enemies. I have people that don't like me. They don't like me at work. I have family members that won't talk to me. Whatever the case is, we must trust in the Lord in spite of increasing trouble and in spite of increasing and the many enemies that we may have. You see, the Lord didn't promise that we would have no trouble. The Lord didn't promise that we wouldn't have any enemies. But what He did say is, trust me. Trust me. I love the honesty of the Psalms. Look at verse 2. We need to trust the Lord in spite of many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him. We need to trust the Lord in spite of spiritual discouragement. You know, it's many that'll say, you know what, that's useless. Why pray? That's useless. Why go to church? That's useless. Why study the Bible? That's useless. Why would you follow Jesus? I don't want your life. Your life is a train wreck. Why would I want that? And you know what? There'll be people that'll be out there that'll discourage you spiritually. And they'll say, there is no help. Why bother? You see, I don't think many lost actually feel that way. But you know, there are lost people that think we as Christians, that God is a figment of our imagination and it's just a crutch. Paul said, if we live a lie, we are of all men, most miserable. You see, if Christianity is not true, then we're living a lie, and that's misery. But we know that it's true. But I want to tell you this. This is the hard part about Christianity. The hard part is, can we trust the Lord when troubles increase? Can we trust the Lord when enemies increase? Can we trust the Lord when those enemies are from our own family? It was Absalom, a beloved son of David, that turned on David and was overtaking his kingdom and didn't care about his father. Can we trust the Lord? Can we trust Him when others are discouraging us? When others say it's a waste of time? Maybe there's something you've been praying about for 18 months, 6 months, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You know, I'm going to tell you this. Don't stop praying. Don't stop beseeching the Lord until you have the green light from Him that says stop. Do you know Paul was told, don't you ask for this thorn in the flesh to be removed anymore. And I believe God can give us that peace and He can say, you know what, it's about time. You can stop. I've given you the answer. I'm going to move forward. But until you have that green light, don't be discouraged and keep praying. I want you to know this. As long as there's breath in someone, I have the hope that they will be saved. You understand that? I still have that hope that they will be saved. And that's the greatest need for the people that we interact with is their eternal soul. And God does save right before death. The thief on the cross is a great example. I've got personal examples of that as well. And don't listen to others. And here, Christian, let me just tell you this. Let's get a little smarter. Let's make sure that our speech doesn't discourage the brethren. You know, sometimes the most dangerous place to come is church. Because sometimes we have no filter. Sometimes we will be the place that people come and they feel the worst. Let that not be said of us. And I will tell you this. Here's what will take care of that. You know this. You know me. I've eaten more shoe leather than anybody in this room. Maybe than everybody in this room combined. But I'll tell you this. You know what makes up for it? Is I've got to humble myself and say, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I'll tell you, that goes a long way, Christian. And when you blow it, when I blow it, and I'll tell you this. If I've offended you, I really want to know. I'm asking you for this. This is important for me. I am oblivious. I'm delusional sometimes. I don't know I've offended you. If you're walking around and I've done something to you, please tell me. I promise you. I won't think badly about it. I want to make it right. I don't want to be a source of spiritual discouragement. I don't want to be the barrier for why you don't want to come to church. And I think all of us, none of us want to be a barrier. If there's an issue between you and somebody else, let's make it right. Let's make it right. We can blow it, but I want to tell you this. We must trust in the Lord, even if we don't make it right. In spite of spiritual discouragement, increasing trouble, and many enemies. But I want to show you this. I love this. Why should we trust in the Lord? Why? I think the Bible gives us three areas, three bases that of why we should trust Him. It's going to be the past, it's going to be the present, and it's going to be the future. And that's what this chapter is broken down into. And I won't spend a lot of time with this because I can see that cupcakes are on your mind, and we'll get to this. So I'm sorry, Bev, I lied. And so I'm going to try not to mention cupcakes anymore. Those listening online will be like, cupcakes, you should come to Hope Baptist Church. We have cupcakes every service. And for the three people that listen online, right? We're just going to be overwhelmed with those folks looking for cupcakes. Now, let's look at verse 3. Let's look at this. In fact, let's look at verse 4 and 5. I'm going to talk about the past, present, and future. Listen to this when David talks this. He said, I cried unto the Lord. That's past tense. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Past experience, the Lord has, he's heard me. He's heard me. I want you to know this. When the trouble comes, when the enemies increase, when the discouragement, when God's own people might discourage you, I'll tell you this, the way to overcome it, the way that we can maintain our trust in the Lord is we must remember what God has done. Has God ever heard you? I'm telling you, this is rough. This message is going to be difficult. Has God ever heard you? He's heard me. I praise the Lord for that. He's heard me in spite of myself. Can you categorize that? Can you begin to think about those things where God has heard you and God has answered your prayer? It's absolutely critical for you. But David said, I cried, past tense, unto the Lord, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Has God ever heard you? I want you to tell you this. The way that we can increase our trust in the Lord is constantly remind yourself, when the trouble comes and we're overwhelmed. You know, I envision trouble sometimes. I envision trouble like a tidal wave coming in and there ain't nothing you can do. I can't run. But I'll tell you what we need to do is remember. God has heard me. But see, that won't help you. Has he heard you? Has God heard you? I want to tell you this, I believe this, if you're a believer in Christ, he has heard you. And I want you to be challenged and look above the problems and remember that God has heard you. It'll embolden us and help us to trust in him. The second thing in past tense, I want you to look at verse 5. He said, I laid me down and slept, I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Not only has the Lord heard me, but the Lord sustained me. I want you to know this. There's not one person in this room tonight. The reason you're alive is God allows you to be alive. You can't breathe without the Lord. I can't breathe without the Lord. We take every breath for granted. We take every step for granted. We take our health for granted, right? It's funny, Abby had a little cut tonight under her fingernail. And you know, it was a small cut, but you would have thought it was major. She didn't really react that bad. But you know how it is. You ever get a cut under your fingernail? Rough, right? I mean, you know, I would have handled it and not even said a thing. But but it was rough. And here's all of a sudden, you know, she's typing on the computer and she loses a finger to type on. Because 2 minutes before, that finger was just fine. But now that finger hurts so bad because there's this cut right under the fingernail and it was bleeding and you weren't thinking of that finger right before that, were you? But I want to tell you this. We've got to remember God has sustained us, hasn't he? I told you this last Wednesday night, right? Deb and I were within 50 feet of a fairly serious wreck on 275. And it did. It woke me up how much God does sustain me, how much God does intervene, how much God does bless me. I want you to know this, that this is important, how we can trust the Lord. I want you to remember it's God that sustained you. I want you to go back and remember sometimes when you're struggling to trust the Lord. Have you gone through difficulties before and didn't God bring you through the time before? Weren't there times in your life that you thought, man, I can never get through this? And God has brought you through? Let's remember that and it'll help us trust him. So not only does he hear us and has heard us, but he has sustained us. Look at verse 7. I want you to see that. He says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast, past tense, thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Not only has God heard us, sustained us, but he's crushed the enemy. He's done this. You see, David had some past tense things. David had sinned grievously against the Lord. David had done horrible things against the Lord. David knew the pronouncement of Nathan that said, the sword will never depart from your home. But David, did God ever crush the enemy with David? Maybe with one guy that you might remember. His name was Goliath. And sort of ridiculous. It's why the world doesn't believe us. I mean, if you honestly think, you know, oh yes, you know, only a, you know, David was probably a young man, a young teen. They would have considered that a man. And, you know, only a boy named David, you know, and so he, you know, just, hey, and then we got a 9.5 foot tall guy and people were like, yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. And David releases that rock, goes in the forehead of Goliath. Goliath falls down dead and David grabs Goliath's sword and cuts his head off. David had seen the Lord crush the enemy. David had seen the Lord break the teeth of the ungodly. And here's the key. This is important. You see how these are matched up. The crushing of the enemy. Because remember what David said at the beginning? This is how the Psalms work. And it's fun to match them up if you can take the time. Where he said, many are they that rise up against me. It was critical that when David said, many are they that rise up against me. I have many enemies. And then what David does, it's kind of a matching. David says, oh yeah, God's crushed the enemy in the past. Well, my present tense are, I've got new enemies. And they seem to be increasing and they're rising up against me. David then goes and he begins to rehearse. He says, you've smitten them on the cheekbone and you've crushed the teeth of the ungodly. You've done it before. I'm going to trust that you'll do it again. Past tense. Past tense. Do you have a history with God? Do you have a history where God has intervened? Do you have a history where you can say, I will tell you this, I have no idea how God's going to do this, but I know He's done it in the past, and I'm glad I'm not God. Remember. 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 Here's the key. I want to tell you this. Our young people, you haven't had a lot of troubles, have you? And maybe you have. Have you had a lot of troubles? If Eric was my dad, I probably would say, you know, I don't know if I can answer that with a truthful heart. Where is Eric? There he is there. He's like, man, he's picking on me. I'll get the cupcakes in a second. But, you know, troubles, right? And I agree, troubles. How old are you again? 12. Do you know, I know that. When are you going to be a teenager? Next year. This year. Oh, that's a big deal. 2017, right? So, I'll remember that, because, you know, it'd be horrible if I ever guessed too young, and, you know, I was going to guess 16, though, just so you know. I wasn't. And, but it's this. You know what, for a 12-year-old, you can have troubles, but I want to tell you this, the troubles will only increase as you have more responsibility, maybe have a family, maybe you're serving the Lord more, and God gives you some souls, and you're trying to help people, you'll have more responsibility, and with that comes more trouble. But I want to tell you this, remember how good God's been to you. He's been very good to you. And if you knew nothing else from tonight's message, we should trust the Lord because He's never failed, has He? He's always delivered. Now let's look at the present tense. I want you to look at with me, will you look at verse 3? Look at verse 3 for me. He says this, he says, but thou, O Lord, are would be a modern word we would use, are present tense. These are the present realities that we have. This is what the Lord is to David right now. It was three things. He said, you're a shield, you're my glory, and you're the lifter of mine head. So he says, you're a shield, you're my glory, and Abby, you can put that in, you're my encouragement. Now let's talk about each of those. You're my shield. You're a shield. Here's what he says is, that's fine and dandy what you've done for me in the past. And we ought to remember the past. But David also says this. He says, my troubles are increasing. I have many enemies. And he says, spiritually, everybody says, there is no help for him. But what he says is, you are my shield. And here's the thing we can trust. And David had to trust this. You understand this? Did that mean nothing got by the shield? Absalom. But here's what David could trust. The Lord's my shield, and whatever He wants to shield me from will not touch me. Do you know that? It's not like the Lord goes, I didn't know Absalom was going to do that. There weren't sirens going off in heaven. The Lord then wasn't worried about, oh no, Absalom. No, He was David's shield. And see, this is a tough one, but this is important. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He's your shield too. This is hard. Anything that gets past the shield was the purpose of God. Understand that. I'm not telling you why, but God protects us and He is our present tense. He is our shield. Now, secondly, I want you to look at verse 3. He says, He's my glory. Now, this is interesting. I think David can say this, but I wonder if we can. You see, what I love about David is he had truly repented of his sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 51, I think it's Psalm 31, maybe 32, and 51 are the parallels. Don't quote me on that. But it's the great repentance of David. It's the great repentance. And here's the thing. David still had to deal with the consequences of his sin, right? But he had been forgiven. Everything was right with God. And he was living for the glory of God. And this is what David knew. He said this. He said, He's my shield and He's my glory. And David got this. David understood this, right? This is what I love. David was living for the glory of God. And if God wants to choose to receive glory for me by allowing my son Absalom to come and run me out of the kingdom, and here I am in the wilderness, and I've got all my wives and my children, and now He has some mighty men with Him as well, but, you know, I'm not really in my comfort zone, but if that's what God wants, He's my glory. And David reminds himself, why is David living? And David remembers this, He's my glory, I'm living for the glory of God, and that's absolutely important. Remember this. Here's how I would prefer. We can tell God how we'd prefer to bring glory to Him, and we would love it to be without trouble, without enemies, without spiritual discouragement, but that's not God's plan a lot, right? But what God says and what David said is present tense, He's my shield and He is my glory. I want to tell you this, when we forget why we're living and why we do things, it's when we will forget and when we will be discouraged and when we will struggle to trust the Lord. You know why? We will struggle trusting Him when we're living for ourselves. You see, David, and this is what I love about the Psalms. This is what's so good. David was reminding himself why he's living. We only have a short time. We only have a little time here. I know this seems like this is all we got, but I'm telling you this, eternity is a lot longer than this. Let's grasp this. That's why one of the reasons I love getting older. I'll tell you this. I can't change the first 50 years, but I've only got a little bit of time left. I'll be able to trust the Lord more if I remember why I'm living. You see, I prayed this morning. I asked the Lord this morning. I asked the Lord for souls. I want our work to be a difference maker. I really believe that God can change Fairfield. And then God can change Hamilton and God can change your neighborhoods. And I really believe that. I've told the Lord this. I've said, Lord, I understand why You don't trust me. And this is just me talking to the Lord. I said, it's easy to be humble when it's a new work but I am thrilled. I do love to see souls saved, but my worst nightmare will be if I forget why I'm pastoring, if I forget why I'm living. And here's what I've told the Lord. I do not want You to bless us if I will steal glory from You. You know, if I die, I'll just say this, if I die anytime soon, here's one conclusion I would tell my family. I've begged God, do not let me be a reproach to You. I've begged God, do not let me steal glory from You. I'd rather die. God doesn't have to answer that. But I hope He's pleased to do that. Now here's what I would love. I would love to have 30 more years and be able to serve the Lord with vibrance and God be able to bless and me not get the big head and me give God the glory. But you know what? I'm telling you, if you pray for me, ask God. Here's what I'm asking you to pray for. Oh God, may You help Pastor Steve walk with You privately, walk with You, love You, be in Your word. And oh God, help him humble himself. You know, and that, make sure you listen to this wording. Don't say, and God humble him. No, I didn't ask for that. Okay? I want to be able to humble myself. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. And I know He will humble me, but I kind of like me trying it first. So if you want to ask the Lord, help me to humble myself. I don't want to steal glory from God. I will tell you this. If we do not forget that we live for the glory of God, we will be able to trust Him. Because we'll always remember, my life is your life. You get to do whatever you want for it. It's for your glory. Help me to be faithful. But that's a tough one, isn't it? But I'm telling you this, if these ring through our mind, and I know trusting the Lord is simple, but I'm telling you, so difficult too, is it not? Is it not difficult? It's so easy, but so difficult. Don't forget, God is our shield, present tense. Don't forget why we live. It's for His glory. Then the third thing I want you to see, I love this, how it's matched up. Look at this in verse 3, and the lifter of mine head. Now, I love this because remember the first three things we looked at that, you know, it's that my trouble increases, my enemies increase, and spiritual discouragement everywhere. And so you're going to get spiritual discouragement. I'm telling you this, you know what? This is important. I better not look for you to be the lifter of my head. And I know you love me. I feel loved. But I'll tell you this, I need to look for the Lord to be the lifter of my head. Here's what that means. Things are going tough. What do? It's not going good. But here's what the Lord does. Is any good? He lifts our head up. Isn't that good? He'll lift our head up. And we don't deserve that. And God is just good. And I love the mercy of God because it's a big deal. And I've gotten feeling sorry for myself in times past. And out of the blue, the Lord will lift my head up. I surely want to recognize that He does that. I just want to tell you this. Count on the Lord for your discouragement, for your encouragement. Count on the Lord for your encouragement. And I know this, present tense. He is our shield. He should be our glory. He was David's. And He is the lifter of our head. We should trust Him from past experience, from present reality, and then I'm not far from a close, from future expectation. Now, if you caught my words, oh, and Abby, sometimes she does some editing licenses, and so she didn't edit any license. Sometimes I put things in parentheses, and it disappears. If only you know, I know, I get some feedback from this. Some of you have great empathy for Abby. I cannot believe. I love Abby with all my heart, and I'll tell you this. So Abby and I are on the same page here, same wavelength, and it'll be a difficult day when Abby leaves, gets married or something like that. It's not been difficult with anyone else in our family. In fact, it's been a great blessing for us. I'm only kidding. It's so good to see them in just the second row, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and it's just good. And I love my family. But just so you know, don't feel too sorry for Abby. We're on the same page. So Abby put future expectation, and it says the word hope. You see, I can't wait. I can't wait for 2 weeks from today. You know, how long have I been talking about that message? And it's the word hope means confident expectation. You see, we can trust in the Lord because of Pat's experience. We can trust in the Lord because of our present reality. We can trust in the Lord because of future expectation. And that's what true hope is. It's not wishy-washy. It's not cross my fingers, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. That's just, that's silliness. That's not what we mean by hope. I'm telling you, when I say hope, it is the absolute confidence, the absolute expectation that Jesus Christ will prevail, that Jesus Christ will do everything He said in the Bible. And I want to tell you this, I can trust in the Lord and I will not be a fool. We can never go wrong, but I want to show you these two things and then we'll finish. I want you to look here at verse 7. 7 and 8, David says, arise, O Lord. Now that's a bold demand, if I can use those words. But he knew God. David knew God. And he says, arise, O Lord, save me. Save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. And it says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And I want to tell you this. Look at this, what he says in verse 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Future expectation, I will not fear the Lord, for the Lord will save me. And this is important. We don't have to know the beginning from the end. We don't know how it's going to work out. But I do know this. The Lord will save me. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Ultimately, I'm dealing with spiritual salvation. We are so focused on the physical. We seem to somewhat indicate within Christianity, I think, at times that God has failed if a Christian gets martyred or a Christian gets mangled or a Christian gets abused in some way that we think is just couldn't be of God. No, I want to tell you this. God will save me. And David knew that too. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. I love the prayer requests. Most of them are focused on the physical. And I've got three in my family, two nurses and one nurse to be. Cross my finger, hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. I don't have that biblical hope yet. So terrible. But it is, three people got that. Thank you for that. Everybody else is like, well, what's he talking about? It is, I do know this, that my salvation is based wholly on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will save me. He will save me from judgment. He will save me from eternal damnation. And I tell you this, I have that great confidence. It's one of the reasons why I think all you believe this, and I'll prove it to you in the Bible if you want, that Jesus could not have sinned when He was here on this earth, and He cannot sin in the future, or else my salvation is not secure. And so I want you to know that I will be saved. He will save me. I have that confidence, and there is no doubt about it. My hope, my security, my salvation is based on His righteousness, and there's nothing better than the righteousness of Jesus. If it was based on my righteousness, I deserved hell from just this past week. In fact, I deserved hell from just yesterday. In fact, I probably deserved hell from just today. You know, the Bible talks about sins of ignorance. And so I want to tell you this, my hope, I will trust in the Lord, because He will save me. And then look at this in verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Don't forget this. This is so fascinating. If you read verse 8, look at verse 8. Let's just read that again. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. How can 7 verses earlier he say, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are thee that rise up against me. And then 7 verses later he's like, salvation belongs unto the Lord. Blessing is upon thy people. David was living our lives. But what David does is he knows how to wrestle with the Lord. Will you wrestle with the Lord, or will you just stay in discouragement? You see, David doesn't leave the throne of grace. David doesn't leave and get off his knees until he realizes this. Here's David. He's going to the Lord and he's like, what in the world? It's like my trouble's increasing. My sons kicked me out of the kingdom. I got increasing enemies, and everybody says I have no hope. And he continues talking to the Lord. And he doesn't finish talking to the Lord until he says, thank you. Salvation belongs to you, and your blessing is upon your people. Amen. I'm ready to go. And David said this, I can trust my Lord because He will bless me. He will take care of me. And so, you know, sometimes when people go through difficulty, I'm not saying we preach this message to people that are going through trouble. Probably not timely. See, I love preaching this message to you that it might be a foundation for you before you go into trouble. You see, these notes are online. You know, if you ever have trouble, you ought to say, I know there was a psalm that pastor preached from, and you can print these out and you can kind of go through them yourself, and you can read the psalm and you can say, I do have past experience, present reality, and future expectation of why I can trust the Lord. And here's the simple thought, wasn't it? We started with this simple thought. I will trust the Lord. And so here's what we do when somebody is going through trouble. Don't rehearse and recite Psalm chapter 3. You pray for them. And here's how you can pray. Father, help them remember how good you've been in the past. Father, help them to remember that you are a shield. Father, help them to remember that you are their protector. And Father, help them to remember that their salvation is wholly dependent on you and you will save. you will bless. You see, no matter what, I know this. God loves me. He saved me. Past tense, present tense, and future tense. We have much to be thankful for. Here's what I didn't say in this message, and I'll close. I didn't say that your trouble, you should just forget it. Your trouble's a big deal. But don't let it cause you to lose trust in the Lord. I wasn't trying to minimize your trouble tonight. But don't let it cause you to lose trust in the Lord. Grab hold of it and say, I will trust you. I will trust you no matter what. Remember the past. See His present blessings. And know for certain He will save and He will bless. Let's pray.